sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
You can compare me to crackers and cheese, but don't compare me to a sucker MC. You see, crackers and cheese, yo, that shit is good, but sucker MCs ain't as good as they should be. Hey, bienvenue, welcome to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am... Rewind! Welcome, bienvenue to another midweek episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzak, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web, a.k.a. pour les Français out there, le grand papa B. Bra, 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 bra.
Bon fire.
You know, there's a delay on that sound effect, but I'll look into it. Okay, before I continue with the show, I gotta explain to you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and weighs a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on, what are we today? December 12th. Holy shit. 13 days away from baby Jesus' birthday? I mean, Christmas? Yeah. December 12th, 2022 at 6:07 p.m. Kind of dark out there. What is it? 0 degrees? Yeah. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, a record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Damn. I feel like, I don't know what's going on, but it's, hold on a second. Whew. Take a shorter breath or some shit. Anyways, here we go. Let's get started with today's episode. You know, I just noticed I was in preparation for today's podcast. Two things. One is how, on one end, well, positive and negative. Positive is how I am committed to recording these things, and it's not a, how committed I am to recording these things, and I noticed that I always have something that I find myself to commit to doing, and once I commit, I do it. I mean, it's, I can't explain it. It's like, it's the closest thing I impose on myself to structure. Like, I remember this one time at my younger age, I was doing like 100 push-ups every day, and I managed to hang on to it for 1 year. And then circumstances in life changed, and I gave up on it, and I stopped doing it. Then it was going in the gym in the morning, and, you know, there's always something. There's always this current thing, but I'm realizing that at the moment, it's this podcast. It's, yeah, doing this podcast. So, yeah, I'm trying to commit to doing it every Wednesdays and on the weekend. You know what? I think I'm just tapping myself on the shoulder for sticking to the commitment. Oh, the second thing I was bringing up is how, even though I commit to it, how I stall to finally go from, okay, finalizing my rundown sheet, saying, okay, this is what I'm doing, and hitting that record button. The stalling is because in my head, I've already done the podcast and it's perfect. My delivery was perfect. All my idea was on point. Everything is that. But once I hit that record button, I know reality is going to hit. And what's in my mind is going to be different than what's going to be out there in reality. I guess I just need to exercise that shit. Stop pissing myself. Exercise that shit in accepting reality. Hold on, that's just me turning down the heater the chauffage in my, come on, the chauffage en anglais. The heater, is that what it is? The heat in the thermostat in my place. I think it's affecting my breathing. Like, fuck, yeah, I hate winter. No, that's not true. Well, I hate winter, but, you know, I probably get the best sleep when I'm cold. It's kind of weird. Anyway, where was I? Reality, yes. Yeah, no, I remember reading this thing about on people who rationalize. Like, not just make excuses, but rationalize. How do you explain rationalize? But anyway, whatever. Some book, there was an excerpt on rationalization, and there was a part where they talk about, there was a part where they mention, do you prefer winning? No. Do you prefer winning in your mind or losing in real life? Do you prefer, like, I guess it was just a reminder that I live in my mind. Most of my life has been experienced in my mind. And because reality sucks. I'm trying to get used to reality. Anyways, all right, let's just go through the run sheet. And I don't have a lot of stuff as I would usually. Like, this one is not a very aggressive run sheet. So let's see how that goes. You know, I have this habit of putting a lot of shit on there and then rushing through it because I try to finish within an hour. But, let's see. Okay, whatever, man. Again, reality versus my mind. Like, in my mind, this shit, I wrap it up. I say all the perfect words. And now I don't ramble on. I don't get off topic like I'm doing right now. So welcome to reality, B-Black. Welcome to reality. All right, okay. title ideas, right? I think I'm warming up. I think the title of, that's why I can't breathe. My nose is blocked. Right. And the medicine I need to unclog my nose, it's not ready yet. That's why. Okay. As I'm talking, yeah, no wonder. Okay. All right, Thor, we'll power through it, man. This is not your problem, but it is mine. All right, title's idea. I'm warming up to, no, it's going to be. It's going to definitely going to be 037. Is it 37? No, 038, sorry. 037 was the last episode, and that was, it doesn't matter, whatever. 037 was a dope-ass episode. Even though I can't remember the title. I should come in and see. Yeah, okay. So I think it's going to be 037. You can compare me to crackers and cheese. Now, if you're a hip-hop head, you recognize that line. And you probably told yourself, I just realized that I recited at the beginning of this podcast. So I'm going to preach it to you. I mean, this is if you're a hip-hop head, well, my age, you recognize the dope-ass poetry of the great MC Light, the rapper MC Light. And she said, to repeat, you can compare me to crackers and cheese. But what? Don't compare me, but don't compare me to a sucker MC. Let me repeat that. She says, you can compare me to crackers and cheese, but don't you dare. Okay, sorry, didn't mean to yell in your ear. But don't you dare compare me to a sucker MC. You know why? See, crackers and cheese, yo, that shit is good. But sucker MCs ain't as good as they should be. I don't think you heard me. I said, crackers and cheese, yo, that shit is good. But sucker MCs ain't as good as they should be.
Come on.
Yo, stop. I can't take credit for that verse. Shout out to MC Light. Yeah, man. Shout out to MC Light. Yeah, man. And if you understand what I'm talking about, then the white man's got you brainwashed. Right. Okay. Yeah. Why? Okay. So why this title? It's because it was either. No. The reason is because I remember after work came in and I didn't feel like I was debating between ordering out and not, or basically I had difficulty motivating myself to record, but I realized that my main problem was that I was effing hungry. I was fucking hungry. I don't know why I censored myself, but I was fucking hungry. And while I was debating between eating first and then recording, eating, risking the itis, and then not recording, I said, yo, I got some saltine crackers in the fridge. I mean, in the pantry, or whatever you put, in the cabinets. And I found some cheese in the fridge, from the fridge, and then combine that shit, and I'm like, damn, that shit's good. Damn. For the sake of the audience, I chose to eat first and then record. Yeah, I'm not a fan of people who record their podcast while eating, especially crackers. I mean, there's been exceptions I've made because, you know, that's how much you enjoy the pod. You know, it just hit me. It just hit me. It's like, excuse me, podcasts like these, like the ones I'm doing, like the one I'm doing or the ones I'm complaining about people who eat on their podcast, but I still listen to, it made me realize that podcasting is not like television or traditional media where you present yourself as this polished human being. As basically, you're listening to their podcast on their terms. I'm realizing that. Like, first time I started podcasting, I was trying to get everything right. I was like reading shit about what radios do, what radio stations do, and how they attract an audience and all that shit. You know, like things you do on the radio. And it hit me. And I'm realizing, like, my favorite podcast. When I say favorite podcast, I'm talking not news, not the New York Daily podcast and things like that. I'm talking about, like, podcasts where they shoot the shit. I get my laughter from. It's like a distraction. It's like, it's equivalent to having the person, if I'm listening to it in my car, they're like shooting the shit with me in the car. It's like, if I have them in my headphones, it's like I'm overhearing, listening in on their conversation. Like these people, it's like, there's a connection. There's a human connection between us and the, it's basically like friends. And just like friends, you know, real friends, you don't expect perfection from them. You don't, it's not in your, I mean, you know, you expect respect from them. You expect respect from them. expect respect. Yeah, but you don't expect perfection from them. Like, okay, I'll give you an example. I remember the Black Guy Who Tips. And I was great Black Guy Who Tips, and it's a husband and wife, Rod and Karen. And at the beginning, the way they were interact with each other, it's what's the word? It's natural. It's a natural. I get the feeling that if you saw them in real life, that's exactly how they interact. So they'll do shit like cut each other off, or not purposely, but they just, it's not synchronized. It's not like, okay, here's your script, here's my, it's like it's a natural conversation between the two. And I remember at first, it used to bother me. Hey, how come you guys aren't delivering like radio stations do? But it made me realize, it's like, no, you listen to us on our terms. Okay, even perfect, a better example. First time I was listening to their podcast, it shocked me that most of their episodes were like, no, probably all, like more than an hour, 2 hours, 2 hours long. And I remember the first few episodes I listened to the Black Guy Who Tips, he got an email, he was reading a feedback from someone saying, hey, your shows are too fucking long. And he was like, yo, that's how we do our, that's how we do. You know what I mean? If you don't like it, they weren't rude about it, but they were saying, yo, that's our format. Love us or leave us alone. And yeah, I just like the idea of, I just get it. It's look, all of us who podcast wish that for the day that we could do this and get paid for it. What am I trying to say? What point am I making? No, you know what I'm saying? The podcast that I love, that I do, that I literally fall in love with, like I have a Patreon, like I go to their Patreon site, like I invest money in, like I'm invested in their success. Yeah, no, they didn't do anything. I mean, They did, all they did was be their normal self, be themselves. And they improved along. We grew up together. We grew together. And yeah, and it just, it's, you know what? I think what I'm trying to comment on is the relationship between the audience and a podcaster. Is it symbiotic? I'm going to use a word that I don't understand now. Okay. But just that relationship, there's something special about that relationship. And it's like different from the relationship you have with an actor while they're on TV. And look, I'm just fascinated. I think it's fascinating. Because I'm like, yeah, no, okay. Quick thing. I'm like, I had my last therapy session made me realize why I hate listening to my own podcast. And it's kind of complicated. Like it's still sore. It's still fresh in my mind. Like I'm committed to being honest with this audience, but this shit here, it's basically I recently had a breakthrough but it's still fresh and it's not like, look, I'd rather send you a dick pic than actually tell you about this breakthrough, what happened. But it was enough to make me realize why I have difficulty listening to my stuff without being so heavily critical. Most of you probably figure it out, but for myself, it was just a revelation that I need to process. But with that said, I think I'm learning more how to be easier on myself. And, you know, if the audience, when the audience come, they'll come, you know. Work with that assumption. All right, okay. I'm off topic, but yeah, crackers and cheese. I love my ability to go off track. Yeah, how the fuck, yeah. But I was talking about, crackers and cheese, and that's why we're going with this title. 038, you can compare me to crackers and cheese. Or I might just call it compare me to crackers and cheese, some shit like that, whatever. I like titles that make you, to those who don't know, they'll be like, what the fuck is he thinking? And those who know, they'll be like, oh, they'll continue the verse, you know, whatever. Yeah. Okay. The other two ideas before I was going to go with crackers and cheese, I was thinking of, and this is strictly because a lot of my influences on this show is just music. You know, my shout out the title. I listen to a song and I'm inspired to. Usually music art inspires me to find topics for an episode. But anyways, Tupac verse, since my life is based on sinning, I might reuse this. There's no laws against reusing this, but yeah, I don't like that. Since my life is based on sinning, I'm hell bound. Yeah. And the last one is, they made us hate ourselves and love our wealth. Yeah, that was a verse from Kanye West. And it's just had me thinking about capitalism. How much, look, I don't know. I've been reflecting a lot about the value of money. Money, capitalism, and self-hatred, the self-loathing that I have. Like, and the thing is, the self-hatred is it's not unique to me. There's a lot of people out there who love everyone else except their own damn selves. And I remember wondering whether we were born that way, but you know, whether we were all born that way, but I think we were all programmed for some whatever reason to hate ourselves. And that verse by Kanye to me, hits a, I don't know. It had me thinking, man, they made us hate ourselves and love their wealth, love they wealth. Anyways, I should get a Kleenex or something. Woo, my nose, I'm dying here, man. I'm like trying to talk and breathe at the same time. So if you're probably hearing my, anyways, yeah. Whew, hang in there, B. Okay, what's going on this week? Works has sent me on a training. It's kind of, well, it's a training or a discussion, whatever, but it's a getting to know yourself as a leader. I remember signing up for this right after I was not given a promotion, but I was I'm in an acting position. It's kind of like a promotion. Basically, it's like you get to test drive a position and a supervisor. Yeah, team lead to supervisor. And I won't lie, man, it's kind of fun. I mean, I the techie in me, I miss the techie in me, but. But yeah, I know this team lead stuff is, I feel like I'm using talents that I forgot that I had. And, or didn't realize had any value. But anyways, I'm actually enjoying this this training. First day I went to it is I kind of found it intimidating because I realized that, holy shit, I'm surrounded by people who are established managers, established, and I'm the new guy. Like, initially when I took this course, I thought it was going to be like a one-on-one, hey, things you should know as a leader. But it's more discussions, how to improve as a leader. So I'm learning a lot. So day one was more like, it felt, as much as I like it, but I felt a little intimidated. I'm like, oh shit, I'm the new kid on the block here. like these guys you know, it's funny. The person who was doing the training didn't say any shit like, yeah, you need to be this, that. Like she reassured me that, nah, you're going to get a lot from this course. It's like she could read inside my mind. It's like, yeah, no, you're good. Yeah. Anyways, day two is where I got the most out of it. Cause it was, they had us do this thing called a Nova profile. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it's like, I don't know how to compare, if, like, you know, if you've done Myers-Briggs, like, I don't know if it's like a better version of it or something like that, but yeah, it's, yeah, I know they had us doing this thing called Nova profile, and you fill out a whole bunch of questions, and you know, you answer a whole bunch of questions, and by the time it spits out a profile, it say, yeah, no, this is like, oh, you're an introvert. You're introverted. This is you're more like, I learned about myself that I'm more on the stability and compliance side. Go figure. No. You know, it's not fair. I learned how I have a bit of everything in there, but I just, stability and compliance is like my, and being an introverted is like my strongest character trait. And you know what? Hold on a second. The thing I forgot to say, because on my rundown sheet, I put training in French. Yesterday, what also made this course intimidating was the fact that I chose to take it in French. So for those of you who don't know, of course you don't, right? I'm you know, French is my first language, but you know, I was raised I grew up with Franco-Ontarian. And what that means is that your English ends up being better. Even though your first language is French, your English ends up being way better than your French. You know why? Because the man, okay, this is my, I'm putting on my angry black Franco-Ontarian hat on. It's like, because them English crackers. Yeah, by the way, yeah, so, quand je parle français, when I'm speaking French, and I refer to the whitey, I'm talking about white people who speak English. Those guys, because, you know, they're a different kind of oppressor. And for the French people going, why is it neck? I'm like, whoa, take it easy, man. I'm not saying you're better than them. I'm just saying, I'm just sitting with you and being like, yeah, okay, all right, we have a common enemy type of shit like that. But nah, fuck that. We ain't home. We ain't allies. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, yeah. Whitey is whitey. But for the sake of conversation, I'm talking about whitey who speaks English. All right. So, yeah, whitey who speaks English. If you live in Canada, especially like in Ontario and or a Franco-Ontarian, you grew up being bombarded by American media, English media, and especially in a country like Canada where they really push, like in my generation of growing up, Generation X is, X. They really pushed us kids into assimilating, you know, fit in or fuck off. They didn't say it in those words, but they were really big on, nah, we don't see race, but, you know, but Blackie, you better start acting more like us white folks, whatever. And, but the assimilation also worked on the French people because they had us, it was so weird. A lot of us grew up bilingual, but we would let the English kids poke fun of us because we spoke French. Oh, you fucking frog, and, you know, and we would let them diss us like that when the fact is we knew two languages and these motherfuckers only knew one. One that belonged to the queen. Like, that, yo, man, that monarchy really fucked with English people's head, man. They have them really believing that, okay, the monarchy and I guess taking over a good chunk of the world would fuck with your head too. But I get, whatever, you know, speaking English. But, you know, there's English people have this, like in the States, it's like, yo, speak English. English, speak American, whatever. Yeah. Don't be speaking that Spanish shit over here and whatever. Okay, so where was I? Yeah, so training in French. So I do speak French, but it was a little intimidating because my entire career has been in English, mainly in English. And if I did speak French, it was like very simple sentences. It was very short sentences. Like, this is a full-on course. So a part of my brain needs to be revived, needs to be it needs to be revived. And look, you know what? I'm gonna take a quick pause to send a shout out to my homie, Trevor Thompson, you know, local comedian from Ottawa. And I think he actually inspired this. He's an English, like his ancestors hung out with the Queen. No, he was Irish. Yeah, he's Irish. He's Irish descendant. But my point is to nest d'anglais, anglophone. But but he also speaks French, and he started doing comedy in French. And, yo, that shit ain't easy, man. That shit ain't easy. And part of why he's doing it is because he loves the French language. I mean, A, he loves the French language. Two, there's more success in the French folks love their comedians way more in Canada. Show more love to their artists way more than English Canada does. But that's some other story. Anyway, but he's been doing it in French, and I've been, like, jaw-dropping. Like, fuck, that's amazing. He's like, it's like watching Terry Fox type of thing, but except of walking across Canada on one leg, he's, like, doing comedy shows in French. And, you know, like, as an Anglophone. Like, he's, like, setting himself up. Like, when he speaks French... he speaks well, but you can tell, like, yes, FLQ motherfucker, if there's some anti-English guy in there, they're gonna fuck with him. It's like, hey, get off the stage, ST, you English nigger, and whatever. Nah, they don't talk like that. But I'm saying, he's made himself vulnerable, and he's practicing at it. Like, it's like, because he's an established... When I see him do comedy, it reminds me of the story of Game of Thrones. I'm going to make a Game of Thrones reference. Of when Jaime Lannister, spoiler alert, loses his sword hand. And then first he goes from depression and then from practicing his non-sword hand, and he's getting better at it. And he gets better, way better at it. You know, I mean, I haven't read the rest of the book, but he gets better. But it's like that. Look, you're in your... Okay, shout out to everyone who's over 40. Think of something you're really good at, right? And now try doing something you're less good at and get better at it. It's not easy. I love this analogy of when we were babies, learning how to walk, it was easy for us. How even though we would fall down, we didn't know the concept of giving up. It was always you'd fall down, you keep trying, and you keep going at it. But then the older we got, shit like discouragement, disappointment started fucking with our head, and we lost perseverance, that part in us that's like, keep trying. Yo, fuck that, we ain't quitting. No one out there, well, I don't know, maybe it's a handicap, but yeah, what baby stops themselves from learning how to walk? You know, they figure it out. They say, what else they gonna do? They ain't got no fucking bills to pay. So, they go from crawling, and then next thing you know, they're walking. And next thing you know, they're talking and using bad words. Anyways, yeah. Wow, man, I'm off topic. Okay, all right, yeah, French training. Okay, really quick story I gotta say. So in today's session, we did this thing called Nova Profile, and I learned a lot about myself. But even funnier is at the beginning of the class, the beginning of the course, the training, the facilitator, there we go, asked, because he's trying to get to know us, he says, hey, what animal do you associate to yourself? I'm like, fuck, man, I ain't trying to reveal myself to these people. And honestly, I went blank. And then my mind started reflecting and think about when I was a kid, I would have said, oh, back in the days, I would have said lion. And why lion is because I like the idea that when a lion speaks, people listen. You know, I like the idea of a lion is heard. That was the concept. I guess I was, this was pre-public speaker, pre-podcaster, pre-comedy. excuse me, pre getting on stage. It's like I knew I would always be the kind of person who would speak in front of an audience. And I would say lying. And also, I'm a boy. I'm a man. You know, what am I going to say? A fucking a goldfish? Nah, man. I got to say some masculine shit. I want to lie. Rawr, man. Because lying get bitches. Lions get bitches, you know. And then it's so funny. Then I had a moment. I'm like, be honest with yourself. Be honest like you're being honest on this. Like I'm trying to be honest with this podcast. And I said, squirrel. Now, before you laugh, squirrel because two things. One, I remember of a Bill Burr joke. Was it Bill Burr? And he's talking about how squirrels are always freaking the fuck out. They're always like on edge and shit like that, which I could relate to. Two, come on, see méfiant en anglais. They're wary. They're you know what? I'm going to look that one up. Méfiant. Come on, see méfiant. You know, I should do this podcast in French. See, right there. Why the fuck am I speaking to y'all in English, man? Most of you motherfuckers already have a lot of, like, endless podcasts in English to listen to, but not a lot in French. You know what? I'm going to mix in French. I think I'm going to integrate more French in this shit, man. Okay, méfiant. Comment dit méfiant en anglais? But just for the sake of fuck. Man, you know what? I'm going to join that war against you English, man. Got me fucking looking up an English a word that I know perfectly in French, but don't know it in English. All right, come to it, Bernard. Come to it, okay. Méfiant, translate in English. If you hadn't noticed, this podcast is more for people who can speak French and English, because wary of something. There we go. Méfiant, wary. If you are, okay, méfiant in other language, British, wary, hold on.
Wary.
Well, that's weird. Okay, wary. Yeah, okay, I've heard Tupac use that word. If you are wary of something and someone, you are cautious because you do not know about them. You believe they may be dangerous or cause problems. Right. Okay. So it was squirrel. And right at the last minute, I was actually thinking of, okay, because there's a funny story about the squirrel one, right? Yeah. Wary. And, and I was noticing how squirrels have this habit of, like, I remember I was going on this walk and I noticed the squirrel eating a nuts. And then he notices me and he's like, trying to read me, says, is this motherfucker coming my way? Because whatever, it's like he's waiting for me to do something to react. Okay, either I'm keep eating this nut or I'm going up this tree with this nut, whatever, right? But he was like staring at me, waiting to see what I was going to do before he decides what he's going to do, or he, she, whatever this squirrel's going to do. So and I'm realizing that I have that same wariness of holy shit, to tie into my example. Yeah, wariness, je me fiant. Like, I don't trust the public. Just to give you a perfect example, I don't trust white people's ability to not use the N-word. I feel like all of them just like, it's like an addiction. Like, you know, I gotta say nigger, I gotta say. And the same applies to French people. Now, the N-word in French is nègre. Don't listen to the French Canadian. He'll tell you, no, it's not the same thing. There's a bunch of white people who tell you, no, nigger and nigger is two different things. Yo, tell them to go fuck themselves. Tell them to go fuck themselves and tell them Be Black told them to go fuck themselves. So, yeah, don't listen to them. Neg and nigger, same thing. So, I don't have the posters anymore. That's right, I threw them out. Yeah. The other animal, the third animal that came to mind is because, by the way, I used to have posters of a lion and an eagle. So the third one, I remember, had a poster of an eagle, and I said, oh, shit, yes, an eagle. But then I remember eagle in French is aigle, okay? Aigle. Now, the thing, French has this weird thing where when you use a pronoun, come on, déterminant en anglais. You know, it doesn't matter, okay? But when you use a pronoun with a noun, no, not a pronoun. When you use a... What's that thing you use to, like, words like one, a dog? Okay, en français, on dit déterminant. Fuck you. Go fuck yourselves. Look it up, man. Okay? Mais en français, on dit un déterminant. Quand tu utilises un déterminant avec un nom, there's this rule where you have to, so, sound out the last letter of that determinant, I don't know how to say it in English, that determinant with the noun. So, for an example, in English, if I say an eagle, well, if you do it in French, you say an eagle, an eagle, an eagle, N and Nigel. That's how you would pronounce it. So in French, it sounds a lot like Ernegle. Ernegle. You know what I mean? And that sounds a little too much like Ernegle. So I was going to say eagle, but I could picture everyone going, did he say nigger? Wait, did he just give us permission to say nigger? Your tsitsi nigger. It's like, I was scared that I would say Ernegle. Actually, I was scared of two things. I was scared that I would say Ernegle and accidentally say Ernegle. I was scared that I was going to say Ernegle and he would hear the tsitsi nigger. Well, okay, je dis un animal, but un animal, c'est un peu raciste, là. Okay, Ernegle, okay, I mean, ouais, c'est raciste, là. Ernegle, okay, peut-être c'est un animal, mais come on, ouais, okay, yo, français, I mean, c'est un 9 à 5, est-ce, on est au travail, on essaie d'être professionnel, on essaie d'arrêter le racisme, puis tu nous encourages, le nègre. Okay, whatever. So, all this to say is, because of my... I thought that shit was funny, man. I might be a bit. I'm going to be a dick. Yeah, okay. So I said, you know, fuck it. Go with squirrel. Go with squirrel. And I told him, gave him my explanation. And it kind of bothered me because all the men were like, you know, dogs, a bear and shit like that. Say manly shit. And I'm like, fuck, squirrel. I mean, a squirrel. And I said squirrel and I was trying to be comfortable in the fact that, yeah, I said some shit that most men haven't said, you know, didn't try. Wait, there was another black guy in my course. I forgot in my training. I forgot what animal he went with. I really hope he didn't say a monkey. I really fucking hope he didn't say monkey. No, he didn't say because I'd be, because this entire episode would be, fuck that nigga. Anyway, yeah. If you're going to be a monkey, be a gorilla. Shout out to Red Man. Reggie Noble. Yeah, okay. I'm making myself laugh. I love these episodes. Look at me, 35 minutes in, and I'm bullshitting. Okay. All right. I'm going to end this segment with what's funny is, so I just tell him squirrel, and what's funny is how when we took our lunch break, I went to pick up some lunch. Actually, I had to go to the pharmacy, which involves me getting into my car. As I'm driving away, this motherfucking squirrel jumps in front of my fucking car. And I really ran over this motherfucker. It's what's worse is this motherfucker, I can't tell if... I saw it cross the street, so I stopped. I slowed down, actually, to give him time. But this motherfucker is indecisive. He's having an indecisive moment about, yo, I think he's telling me I could go. No. Oh, okay. Either two things. Either this squirrel was like, fuck you. I'm changing my mind. Either that squirrel thought he was debating between being a lion and remembering he was a squirrel, or he saw my car, panic, and he's like, go, no, don't go, go, don't go. You know, he who waits masturbate. Like, he was like, all I needed this motherfucking squirrel to do was a motherfucking decision in that fucking, like, make a decision, goddammit. And I remember, like, I nearly floored it, but yeah, I am not going back. Yeah, I'm sensitive, man. I don't like killing animals. Anyways, yeah. So, but it was pissing me off. I'm like, make a fucking decision. But then it taught me so much about me because I can be an undecided. If there's one thing I won't allow people to do is to rush me into a decision in the moment. I had an ex. Okay, off topic again. No, it's not off topic, but I had an ex. This is... know thyself, by the way. If you're going to start dating, make sure you know thyself. Anyway, yeah. So I had an ex who knew I sucked. How much I sucked at making decisions. Actually, she didn't care that I sucked, but she knew she was able to get her way by forcing me to make a decision on the spot. When I mean decision is like, hey, make long-term commitments. Hey, remember, can you go pick me up on what? Basically, don't give me time to think. Just make a decision. I only bring up my that particular ex because it was at that moment that I accepted that, yeah, I suck. I am not my best at making quick decisions. All my quick decisions are usually my worst decisions. So, you know, sometimes I just need time to be like, okay, hold on, let me think about that. Yeah, especially like impulse shopping and shit like that. But whatever, okay. But I was, that squirrel reminded me of me in panic mode. But, saw my car. And this motherfucker was I kind of was hoping, okay, take the time to make your decision, but off the fucking street, you know what I mean? Like, go on the sidewalk, go up that tree, but not while you seeing me rush to get to the pharmacy so I could get back in time and go back on my train. I just thought it was funny. Anyways, I brought it up to my class about the kid. I nearly ran over a squirrel. And, but it had me thinking about, yeah, man, fuck, that's my weakness as a leader, is making quick decisions. If I'm like, yeah, I couldn't be Captain Kirk and the Klingons or whatever the fuck shooting at us. And they're like, yo, do we nuke them or not? I'm like, what does the Geneva Convention say? Like, do we have enough energy? Like, you know, it's, yeah. That's, yeah, that, I'm gonna, yeah. So this concludes the segment on the lion, squirrel, and the eagle. There we go. I'm going to, okay, you know what? I'm gonna say Late Night, Thin Heartbreak. Okay. Have you ever heard a rap song? It's gotta be a rap song, right? Have you ever heard a rap song that made you question the rapper's choice of a beat and then hated, like, didn't like it? And but when you heard the track they sampled it with from, it made a lot of sense. So what's that song by Jay-Z that, you know, I'm going to look it up. From his Jay-Z 444, 34. Oh, that track he did where he's, is it Smile? Let's find out. Ooh, that's kind of scary. Sorry to show me the trailer. Okay, look, I kind of want to see Jay-Z. Okay, no, that's not the one. The track he did where he, like, confesses to having cheated on Family Feud. I think that's the one. Family Feud. Why isn't the song coming? Oh, you know what? I forgot I have a title. Now, I'm not going to play the whole thing because I'm not trying to get arrested. Sued. There we go. Whew. My breathing is acting up again. Okay. No, it's not Kill Jay-Z. Was it Smile? Nope, that's not it. Friend. Nope, that's not it. Okay. 444.
Do I find it so hard when I know in my heart?
Okay, there we go. Now I'm gonna look that those lyrics up. Jay-Z. Okay, holy shit. Let me just get to the point. When he picked that beat, when he sampled that track, and I'm listening to the, like, I was so distracted. I couldn't focus on his verse because I hated his choice of a beat. I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't question his judgment, but I've accepted every once in a while a rapper will make an artistic choice that I just can't fuck with. I just can't, you know, and I don't diss the rapper for it. I just say, oh, well, unfortunately, I won't be able to enjoy it like the rest of everyone else. Now, anyways, so in 444, I think that's, 4 o'clock and 44. Is that what that is? Yeah, I think that's a track where he admits, you know, why don't you just look it up? Jay-Z 444. I think that's the track where he, like, confesses to cheating on Beyonce. Again, this is a release promotion. You know, okay, I've ranted about this before. What I hate about when you look up a song on Wikipedia, they don't mention, they tell you everything about except why they recorded the song. Rock Nation exclusive, blah, 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 the album first plan. No, the song, you asshole. Bullshit. Oh, there we go. Okay, 444 is a song, American hip hop, blah, 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 release 13. It was No ID. Shout out to No ID. The song contains a sample of Late Nights and Heartbreak, written by Kanan Keeney. He was credited as a songwriter, performed by Hannah Williams. The affirmation along with the uncredited interpretation. See, the title of the song is the same as the song length. Oh, deep. See, I like when Jay-Z does shit like that. But yeah, no mention on what the song is all about. Okay, see, let's see if I look up Rap Genius. I'm trying to confirm it's the song he wrote about. I guess I could have listened to it before, but I didn't. Okay. 444 is the title track from Jay-Z's 13th studio album. It is an open love apology letter to his wife, Beyonce, and is the fifth track on the 444. In the song, he discusses being a bad husband and possibly of cheating on her. Oh, possibly. It samples Hannah Williams and the Affirmations, Late Nights and Heartbreak, another song concerning infidelity, and features vocals by Kim Burrell. Okay, all right. That's what I was trying to get at, is I heard the original song, and I loved it. It was perfect. And now, because I have that understanding, I can now listen to 444 and realize, it's like I needed to understand. No, I still stand on not liking it, but because I have this understanding of why, there was some thoughts that went into that choice and picking that song and how it relates to the original artist was talking about unfaithfulness, and he's talking about unfaithfulness. Because he ties them together, I thought that's a match made in heaven. Anyways, all this to say, yes, I'm one of those people who've questioned a choice by an artist, and once I understood their choices, I'm like, oh, end up enjoying it. So, yeah, that's the point. That's the only, yeah, that's the random thought. All right, next. This is a quick one. I'm going to go, how come abusers don't go to therapy? Somebody said, no, I guess I was thinking about how I was driving to therapy, and I was thinking of a story, not a story, but a quick reference that an analogy or an example my therapist was using in response to sticking to your old ways. I forget what the context was, but essentially she was saying that she has a client who, poor girl. I don't know. It's been lingering in my head, and I've been thinking about this client and every woman like her who are in an abusive relationship and can't get themselves to leave. Like, to them, enduring this abuse makes sense to them. It's all logical. But to us as the outsider, you're like, leave. Anyway, whatever, right? But anyway, it was just playing in my head. And ever since she's been like, yeah, no, I'm thinking of another story. A friend of mine, Trevor Thompson, on one of his podcasts, he had Sean Carson on, and they were talking about a story of one of them. No, Sean was talking about a story when he was at Carlton Place growing up, and he went to some party, and he saw this dude beating on his wife, girlfriend, whatever, his partner, and he's with two of his homies, and they intervene, and the girl jumps up and says, "Yo, mind your own fucking business." It's like. And, you know, they were shocked and they were like, what are we going to do? But it just, that woman in that particular, getting beaten by her, it's not that I don't understand it. Well, okay, no, not as much as the person going through it. It's, or maybe I do understanding, but it's what's conflicting me. It's what's, because in their mind, being in this situation is their normal. The abuse, tolerating this abuse is, that's their life. That's their. It's like you believe that's. You're no better than this. You're. It's just. It's as normal as breathing, and I guess you just tell yourself that. Yeah, no. You know. No. Anyone hits me, I'll fuck them up. But this person, love to me is making an exception for this person. This person is entitled to hitting me. Yeah, you just make that decision. Anyways, I was just thinking about how her client is in there. Reflecting, going to therapy and learning, probably dealing with the fact that I'm in a situation where I'm being abused. But I'm thinking about her abuser, how? Like, I'm thinking about if a man came up to me and says, yo, I have a problem. I can't stop hitting my girl. How do you deal with that? How do they get help? How do you, like, I want to say, yo, talk to someone. I mean, so far, the only solution is I have him arrested or fucked him up. Or the worst one is ignore him. It's like, oh, well, you know, or no, we'll pray for you. Like my relatives did, but that's another story. Airing out dirty laundries here. But no, I remember having someone who I knew beat on their girl, and their girl finally broke up with them. And because they were my friend after the breakup, you know, sure, you're celebrating the girl broke up with them, but they were going through their own turmoil, like, you know, they rejected, and in their mind, they realized, yo, fuck, you realize that she finally figured out she deserved better. It's as if these people hit them wanting them to leave while not wanting. It's like they were rejecting while not rejecting. It's weird. Anyways, yeah, like, I'm saying abusers. Not all of them. I mean, some people are just sadistic. Some motherfuckers are sociopaths. But I'm talking about the ones who, like this particular person that I knew, I was in that moment, and I was just trying to, it's going to sound fucked up, help them heal. Not forgive them, but help them get to a point where they realize, yo, no, I fucked up. I need to hold myself accountable. I need to address this. I did this woman dirty. Like, how do you, all I know is, maybe I should look it up, but all I know is I have never been prepared to handle these situations, that specific situation. Because the people, these abusers, I don't want to use the word need to be helped, but they need to be dealt with. They need to be, shunning them, criticizing them is not working. This shit needs to be addressed. And I'm not hearing anyone bringing up solutions. But one thing, I don't know. I wonder if there's any of these abusers, like, say, like, I wonder if this particular person, I talked that person into going to therapy, and they said, hey, yeah, my problem is I beat my girl. How do you process that? How do you, like, as a therapist, are you, like, talking them through, or are you like, no, man, fuck that. What you're doing is illegal. I have to get you arrested. Like, how does a man, okay, that's my question. How does an abusive man turn into a man who doesn't abuse? How do you go from being an abuser to not an abuser? Or abusers destined to be abusers? Like, they're born, they're born abusers and they're going to die abusers. Like, is there any hope to fixing these people? I use the word fix, but how, I don't know. I'm overthinking here. I was, remember when I was trying to work with this person and I had no fucking solutions. I was stuck. All I had was, yeah, I was stuck. Anyways, yeah, it's like, how come abusers don't go into therapy? That's the question I'm asking. Anyways, all right. Before I talk about Dave Chappelle, because I'm going to make this quick here. What time is it? Oh, 51 minutes. All right. I'm not going to make a long thing about it. I'm not going to make a long thing about it, but I'm just seeing if I have an article about it. But okay. Something that's been popping on my timeline is Megan Thee Stallion is going to court. Is in court and I guess addressing, I don't have the details, but Shut Up Podcast. Fuck the details. No, okay, let me be serious. I'm talking about the Tory Lanez and Megan Thee Stallion, how Tory Lanez shot her in, she ain't funny, but you know, shot her in the foot. And the way this story was initially explained to me is at first she didn't say, she didn't involve the cops because she was thinking of how black men get dealt with by the cops. And like, it's a common thing. It's not normal. It's not unusual to hear about a woman, especially a black woman, to tolerate abuse versus calling the cops on their abusive black partner, boyfriend, significant other. And that's how I heard the story. Was initially heard the story how she was shot, and then after, I don't know if Tory Lanez was being an idiot about it, but she ended up coming forward to, yeah, this is what happened, and I'm glad she did it. Fuck that nigga, man. Fuck that nigga. Look, I'm telling you right now, man. This is a Fuck Tory Lanez podcast, and again, you're on my term. You know, you ain't gotta like it. There's a lot of podcasts out there supporting Tory Lanez and shit like that, but I'm on that Fuck Tory Lanez, and for life. And I heard he's from Brampton, whatever. Okay, I didn't know he was Canadian, whatever. Yeah, I'm not even familiar with his work. All I know is a black dude who for shits and giggle shot a woman in the foot. And yeah, and then so I guess that shit is being dealt with. The only reason why this is a topic right now is because I didn't, call me naive, call me stupid, but I didn't realize there were a group of men, especially black men, who were accusing her of lying. What the fuck? When did, I'm going to say we. I'm like, damn. Holy shit. No wonder they hate us. I mean, look, to the people who, gladly this is not a discussion in the barbershop because they wouldn't, I wouldn't make it too well. But I'm just saying, look, I believe Megan the same way I believe a black man who talks about being abused by the police, having being shot by, or their side of the story of when it comes to police brutality. But it had me thinking about how, y'all, man, seriously, how this is one of those situations where a friend of mine, she brought it up and she said, yeah, man, black men don't show out, don't show as much, the same loyalty to black women as black women show to black men. Now, I'm not talking about relationship. This is not a anti-race, you know, because some people are taking this, yeah, man, stick by black women. No, this is not a, I'm not talking about interracial. I'm talking about allyship, real allyship. That's a new keyword for white people. Yeah, I'm trying to be an ally. Yo, black women have been the allies of black men since the fucking first slave ship. Since the first, hey, I don't trust these white folks. Come on, baby. I don't know. We got to trust these white people. Come on. You know what I mean? I'm acting like it was a black man that we ended up on the slave ship. Whatever. But my point is, they've been an ally since the get-go. And if you've listened to my manifesto episode, my first episode of this podcast, I talk about, like, when I talk about allies, I don't like using the allies. I talk about people who are dying in the trenches with me. People who are in that trenches being shot at, getting bucked at, like, you know, shooting and being shot at in the trenches with me. And undeniably, black women have been there. So when Megan Thee Stallion says, yo, this shit happens, I believe her. I trust her. And the thing is, it's that solidarity that we have. Like, the like Tory Lanez is like, no, she's lying and shit like that. Like, and put it this way. No, how am I trying to say this? It's like I'm trying to explain why I trust, I'm taking Megan's word over, I'm choosing to believe Megan over Tory Lanez. Because, let me put it this way. Megan has more to lose by lying than Tory Lanez. Megan's got more to lose in the eyes of black folks, and their solidarity, the bond that we all have as a people, has more to lose by lying than Tory Lanez does. That's what I'm saying. I mean, he can play the whole, no, I'm a black man being set up by a black woman. I don't know, brother. I don't know, nigga. Nah. You sound like the kind of nigga who would do that shit and then lie about the, like about lie. Again, I don't know these people personally, but like, just like I didn't know, I was going to say, yeah, no, George Floyd, Trayvon Martin's family, George Floyd's family, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, everyone. I mean, that list is fucking long. Anyway, all these people who've had run-ins with the police, and as a nation, we just automatically chose to take their word over it. I'm going through longer than I wanted to, but my only point I was trying to make is I am shocked. Maybe I'm naive. Someone called me on it. Maybe I was naive, but I am shocked. There's a movement against, people are calling Megan Thee Stallion a liar. Looks like we, fuck, man, this whole pro-black shit is, I didn't realize, I mean, yeah, I'm naive. It looks like in the pro-black movement, we got to draw a line in the sand between sucker niggas and these fake-ass pro-black types and the real ones. I'm just ranting here. All right, I'm going to make this the last one because just shit on my mind. You've probably heard, I'm not going to play, it's a 4-minute clip, but something that's been recent news is Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle is in like a, Dave Chappelle had a show in San Francisco, and this nigga, decides to bring Elon Musk on stage. Now, the article that's linked to this episode, that's in the show notes, apparently says that, you know, gives him a clarity. Apparently he said that Hold on, let me see if this is true, right? Talib Kweli. Twitter. Okay, so apparently. Oh, is he back? Okay, anyway, apparently Talib Kweli was banned from Twitter before Elon Musk. And I don't know how this shit happened, but I think Elon Musk, or whether it was Elon Musk, hey, can I go on stage with you, man? You know, so I could dance the jiggy with you, jiggaboo, anyway, whatever. And, I don't know how this arrangement arrived, but for whatever fucking reason, Dave agreed with it. So he brings Elon Musk on stage, but right before he brings him on stage, he said, hey, no, I don't know about the timing, but he said, hey, before you come on stage, I'll make you a deal. You restore my friend Talib back on Twitter, I'll let you come on stage. But whatever. That's not the worst of it, okay? But that's the closest to an out Chappelle is getting on this shit. But he fucked up. This is me talking about Chappelle taking a fucking, and the biggest L, one of the biggest L in his career, at least in my eyes. Like, this dude is turning, this dude is slowly, in my mind, turning into Cosby. Not Rapist Cosby, but Mr. Pull Up Your Pants. And maybe he's just getting old, and maybe he's just so rich that he doesn't live in Ohio, and he's just losing touch with the audience who loved him so much. All right, so do I understand the story? Elon Musk gets on stage, and in true white boy fashion, does white boy shit. You know what I mean? I mean, no, he doesn't say the N-word, but he just... No, this is what happens. Dave brings him on stage, and the crowd boos him. It's not the booing that gets me. It's whatever. It's the fact that then Dave started, okay, he makes a joke about, yo, looks like you got a lot of haters. But then he goes from hating the crowd to, like, dissing poor people. It's like, oh, I guess all the people in the nosebleed section are dissing you. Like, you know, only poor folks are. No, actually, he made the joke, I guess the people you fired the people you fired are the ones booing you and shit like that. Look, Dave, man. Yo, I'm MSC. What the fuck? I side with the people, man. I feel more for the people Elon Musk fired. I don't know them personally, but I feel my solidarity is with the people he fired more than it is with that fucking South African ex-fucking apartheid fucking rich boy. You know what? Look, man. If you know me, you know I'm not a huge fan of Elon Musk. I'm actually not overthinking, but investing way too much hatred into this human, to this dude. But I really not a fan into this dude. A lot of people think he's like Iron Man, Tony Stark. But I just see him as a white boy who made it into a system that was designed for him to make it. If it wasn't that white boy, another white boy would have made it. I'm just saying, look, I'm not hating on his effort. I'm not trying to say he's not a hard, whatever the fuck, I'm not saying he didn't work hard to get to what he's got, you know, no wisdom. But I am acknowledging the fact that, okay, high five, you made it in the system that was designed for you to make it in. So, you know, forgive me if I don't join the, oh my God, he's fucking, so forgive me if I don't name my kid Elon Musk. Forgive me if I'm not riding his dick like the rest of y'all. And like some people might be. Anyway, yeah, so, he gets on stage. And long story short, he gets booed, and then Dave starts blaming the audience. Starts getting angry at the audience for booing at him. I'm like, bro, that's not a fucking good look. And here's the thing, and this is the part that's getting annoying. It's like I want to know how this shit plays out. Is he going to diss us? Because consider me one of the people, like, those boos, let's pretend those boos were like a card, like a signature, you know what I'm saying, that says boo on them. Hey, my signature is on there, you know what I mean? It's like a birthday card. You circle around the office, everyone signs, put their best wishes. Well, instead of a birthday card, it's a boo card, all right? I sign mine. Shout out to the people in San Francisco who booed that motherfucking cracker, Elon Musk. Shout out to y'all, man. Blah, 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 blah. Shout out podcast, and B Blizzak is endorsing those boos. And then Dave... by the way, this is all recorded, right? Turns on the audience. And I'm like, fuck. I guess rich people are your neighbors, you know? And was like, he decided to sync with this thing. Okay, I think why Dave was really mad is because he figured that, yo, I got juice in this shit, and people will forgive me, or people will be like, yo, I'm, that's it, oh, ambivalent. No, I'm, omnipotent. Like he had a God complex. He's like, yeah, don't worry, man. I got you. The blessings of Dave Chappelle is upon you. No weapon shall prosper. And then when he saw those boos, he was like, what the fuck? Maybe I'm not as dope. Maybe I'm not as cool. Maybe I'm not as funny as I thought I am. Anyway, he took those boos personally. Those boos were attacked for, no, okay, they were at Elon Musk, and they were at also his choice of having that dude on stage. I'm just saying, man, out of all the people to take a bullet for, Elon Musk ain't the one, homie, ain't the one. Anyway, so now I'm wondering whether this dude is going to dismiss us, because like I said, I'm citing, endorsing, condoning, is it condoning? Yeah, condoning, approving those boos. And is he going to dismiss us the same way he dismissed people who didn't like his trans jokes? Is he going to go on tour about, y'all, you fucking niggas ain't shit, fucking booing me and all that shit and yada yada and whatever. If he doubles down on dissing the crowd, then yeah, man, fuck it. It's the end of his career. Excuse me. It's not the end of his career. It's my official, I ain't fucking with this guy no more. He's officially Cosby level. He's officially R. Kelly level. He's officially, is he getting canceled? No, I mean, I guess that's what it is. Look, man, Dave is going to be all right. Fuck you, man. I'm just saying, look, he's going to be all right. I'm just saying I'm going to be on the side of people when he tours across Canada, comes to Ottawa. I'm not going to a show. You know what I mean? If I, any of his art, I'm not going to have that same relations that I have with my favorite podcast with him. He's not going to be that artist that I break my head. Says it's bomb on a good breaking your head. He's not the guy I bend over backward for. He's just going to be that artist. He's going to be like like porn stars. I don't give a fuck about his name. I'm like, you know, and I don't know. I think depending how he reacts, it's going to be an official stamp of the end of an era. I'm one of those people who didn't like his trans jokes. I'm not, okay, look, let me establish. Dave Chappelle is a fucking comedian, you know, a goat. Everyone will admit that. But all, you know, all great heroes, everything comes to an end. Who knows? Maybe he might make a good joke. He might make a joke about, like, the last time he bombed. He might talk about, yeah, I fucked up by bringing him on stage. You know, people make mistakes. I'm trying to remember that he's a human being. And maybe it's my fault. You know, shout out to Dave. Actually, it was his idea. It's like how we worship celebrities. And maybe, you know, maybe all this is just his reminder of, no, fuck you for worshiping me. What do you think? I walk on water, nigga? Fuck you, man. I'm going to make stupid shit. I'm just, I get it. I'm trying to be fair in my judgment of him. I'm not trying to be, but I am expressing that I was very, very disappointed that he brought that white boy on stage, man. That dude is like that. There was that joke that I got from Tremi. He goes, that dude, Elon Musk would ruin a wet dream, man. He's like that dude. He's the guy you don't bring in to get the party going. He's the guy who, like, you invite to get the party to stop. Or you know who he is? He scares the host. That's what he is. That's what's going to happen to Twitter, man. He's going to turn into a sausage fest, and not the good kind. Because I like sausage, too. But I'm just, you know, but not that kind of sausage fest. I just call myself, no, I'm not saying, you know, that was an analogy to homosexuality or something like that. Doesn't matter. All right, okay. I'm saying the good kind. My point is there is such a thing as a good sausage fest. That's all I'm trying to get at. And I'm saying this motherfucker is going to turn Twitter into a sausage fest. It's going to be a whole bunch of dudes that's going to be left on Twitter. And the only women that's going to be on there, that will be on there, are going to be bots who want you to pay for their webcam, or the traditional types who are into the, like, there might be a few hot chicks left, but they're going to be like the traditional type who believe in the man's man and might be willing, and they're not gonna go. They're gonna go for the top tier kind of men in that sausage fest called Twitter. Like, they're gonna go for Elon Musk, and they're gonna be willing to share the Elon Musk on that shit. Like, you know, like, it's the kind of women who are like, "Okay, what can you do for me? You're broke," because, you know, broke motherfuckers don't apply. Either you got power or money, or else I ain't trying to get you. I ain't trying to hear. I'm just saying, yeah. L, man. L's were taken that day. when was this, a Monday? No, Sunday. I heard about it on Monday. But yeah, man, very. Not that Chappelle. Well, I mean, okay, look. Chappelle doesn't have to live up to my standard. But if he wants me as a fan, if he wants to keep me as a fan, okay. It might be in a little, what time is it? Oh my God, 1 hour, 8 minutes. This shit was supposed to be less than an hour, but here we are. Whatever, all right. I'm acting like somebody's gonna, oh, fuck this. Whatever, man. If you're gonna listen to it, they're gonna listen to it. But yeah, but I have passed my time on what I was trying to say. It's funny, this is one of those situations when I was thinking about this topic, it felt concise, but when I spit out the words, I find myself rambling. But yeah, man, yeah, very disappointed. Disappointed in Brother Dave Chappelle. I mean, but whatever, man. There's disappointment, but it's more, I have a hatred. Hatred is a strong word. Like, you know, it's not like I'm going to do anything about that hatred. But if bad things, I am rooting for bad things to happen to, awful things to happen to. Like, I'm rooting for his failure. I am rooting, you know, for Elon Musk failure, that kind of hatred. If he goes that, I'm like, ah, a foot deuce. Like, it's going to be like every time he wins, I feel like bad people winning. Anyway, yeah. All right. That's the last thing I was going to play, but I'm going to save it for the next episode. Because I forgot, I got to get something to eat. And the title goes, Pastor Brags About His Watch Costing More Than His Second House. This motherfucker. Yeah, that's going to be a church wretchedness here. Yeah, I can see myself talking a lot about that one. But anyways, yo, this, you know what I'm realizing? I got to wear a mask. I'm one of those people who have to wear a mask. Because when I get overly enthusiastic, I can, my poor mic is like, what's that expression? Say it, don't spray it. Yeah, I'm spraying it. I've been spraying. I can feel it in my fingers, and it annoys me. But here we are. All right. More details you didn't need to know. All right. This, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, concludes today's episode. 038. You can compare me to crackers and cheese. Holler at me on Twitter as I talk shit about the owner. B Blizzak or Shut Up Podcast. At B Blizzak or at Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed or find us on Google. Find us. Find me. Find this podcast on Google or Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.